Sí. Can you hear me, Matango?
Am I not audible?
I can hear you, but can you hear me? You can't hear me.
But we can hear you, Cindy. I think Chair is the one who can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm pulling her quickly. Thank you.
Who's hosting? Cindy, sir. Am I audible?
Can you hear me now, Ms. Matango?
Hello?
Hi, co-chair.
Honorable Mavi, the co-chairperson.
Yes, Chair, I'll arrange.
Okay. A very good afternoon to you all members. I'm not going to waste the most of your time. I know that NA, you had a plenary you just finished now, and some members have started early in the morning, and it's a Friday, and unfortunately, some still have to travel because we have our plenaries on hybrid. So for those who will make it for traveling, we have to accommodate them and not take long in the meeting that we're having. And also to encourage members to come to our meetings on Fridays or to connect to the meetings on Fridays. By not delaying. You are all welcomed, honorable members and colleagues. Have we received apologies, Cindy?
Yes, Chair. We received an apology from Mr. Sheikh Imam, and Mr. Brataseth has to leave.
Recording in progress.
Okay.
Recording stopped.
I'm sorry about that. I was just about to let you know that the network where I am is very, 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 very weak. So I was just kicked out when I was about to
let recording you know. In progress.
And also we've been informed by the IT that we keep our videos on as we speak, if possible, because some people are affected, their network are affected by the video when it's on. But we humbly request that please try, if possible, to open your video. And I've also been asked to let you know that this meeting is live on 408 and other communication platforms for Parliament. Cindy, you were on item number two. I think I have dealt with the house rules.
Yes, Chair.
Yes. Apologies, is only those.
It's only Mr. Sheikh Imam and Mr. Bratislav will leave at 2:30. He's got another engagement.
No indication from Mr.
I also have an apology.
Who's that?
Hi.
What's the apology, Honorable Khai?
So if we are still continuing by four, I'd like to be a request to be released at four. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'll appreciate it if you can help us not to get to 4 o'clock, because I'm going to rely on you to help me co-chair until the co-chairperson is here. My network is not favoring me today. Actually, for the whole of this week, it has been hectic. Can we go to item number three, please? We step to item number three, which is the adoption of minutes of the previous meeting.
Chairperson, because we don't have a quorum at the moment, we will have to leave that item.
Yes, there was also a request that we amend the agenda, that we start with the revised APP and the second one, institutional performance for first quarter, for quarter one. And then lastly, we deal with the draft forward-looking APP 2022-23. There was a request from the office of the acting secretary. Members, can you speak to this proposal?
It's in order.
Thank you. Mechawa, I think it's you who's going to lead this presentation. The first item, which is the revised APP of 2021-22. Can it be flagged on the
Thank you, co-chair, and good afternoon, honorable members, and good afternoon to my colleagues. Thanks for moving around the agenda. It will definitely assist. We are also not going to go slide by slide of the presentations. I just want to say, in terms of this particular APP of 2021-2022, the reason it was written draft there is precisely because the first submission as per the compliance and the FMPPLA was on the 31st May 2020. And then there was a revision of the budget due to the outbreak of COVID we had to revise the APP, and as well as understanding that often we get budget allocations ahead of the plans. So we always have to reconcile backwards. So the original APP was submitted on 31st of May 2020, tabled on the 9th of June 2021, revised along the budget. So we thought here, I will just give a summary, honorable members, because the quarter report that's going to come subsequent to this is the quarter report that already talks to this APP. So the APP has been tabled on ATC on the 9th of June. That is what we are implementing. So I will not necessarily go through it slide by slide. I'll go to the next slide, which talks to the strategy map. This is a summary that neatly captures the development of the strategy and the APP focus areas, as well as the various layers that we use when evolving an APP, which then becomes of the strategy informed by those to the APP, the other way around, the APP informed by the 5-year strategy. And you will see that, honorable members, this whole term, we are going to be using our master slide. We are going to be reporting on the inputs in terms of the officials of parliament. We are going to be raising issues around the matters that the members should actually look at with respect to the delivery of their mandate. So that roadmap, that strategy map will always be with us. And when Ravi Moodley presents on the institutional performance, he will also cross-reference to that. What we have done today is, in terms of the agenda, because these are substantive and massive documents, we split the presentation so that I deal with this, and then my other managers will deal with the rest of the presentations going forward. The following slide is just a summary of how we get to evolve the strategy. We do the SWOT analysis, which we did, and it's a long-term horizon, 15 to 15 years impact, 5-year outcomes, and that we use the APP for implementation around outputs and associated information. And that includes, obviously, how that is expressed in terms of the operational plans that focus on activities which are definitely inputs at the lower level. The next slide, we did share with the honorable members that we have restructured our program. And we have submitted our budget program structure to the National Treasury, and it will actually be the ENE. And at this point in time, I wish to say, honorable co-chairs, honorable members, that we now have appointed a colleague in the Treasury office, Mr. McGregor, who is on the platform, and he will obviously be dealing with into the future with the ENE, the regulations, and any circulars that need to be dealt with. He will provide Treasury support to the executive authority as per the FMPPLA. I think we did send a communication to the coaches, but if we've not, we will send it to you. Going forward, so we have restructured our program. Program one, program two, program three, sorry. And I just want to bring your attention to the fact that the bulk of program two consolidates the work of the two houses, puts shared services, public participation and external relations, sectoral parliaments and joint businesses. What it really means is we will be reporting on program one and program two largely. Program three is really a transactional operation there, where we're dealing with members and facilities, transfer to political parties. We have PBO there, and I do wish to say in this meeting, PBO is not the responsibility of the officials of parliament anymore, as per the amended act on the Money Bills Act and related matters. The PBO reports to the Advisory Council as per their act. And then the OISD does belong to program one. On this slide, we had put it in program three, but it belongs to program one because it is an establishment that was through the House subsequent to the Carter Asmal report. So you will see that when we talk about entities that report to the executive authority, that will be yet another entity reporting to that executive authority. The next slide does explain what I've already said. PBO has its own accounting officer. The legislative support supports the Speaker's Forum, and it's governed by the MOU between the EU and the South Africa's finance agreement. And of course, OISD has said Treasury Advice Office is, in terms of the Act, reporting to the EA. Chairperson, allow me to say that the next slides, we shared with yourselves the methodology we're going to change. Remember, there was a continuous concern around our annual targets, our client satisfaction survey, which only happened right at the end of the year. We've altered that. Mr. Moodley will talk a lot about it when he presents the client satisfaction indicators as targets and indicators, as well as the outputs relating to the first quarter. Here we're just sharing with yourselves that a lot of parliaments, a lot of institutions assess their performance and assess the levels of satisfaction by using a client satisfaction feedback survey. And we have introduced a newer one, more current data, and it's done quarterly. And it's at this point in time, I wish to appeal and say that we will be sending communications to yourselves. When Mr. Moodley presents, Ravi presents, you will see that we have data for the first quarter. We are going to have another data for the second quarter up until the fourth quarter. We hope that the sample will increase, the data will be robust, and it will be amenable to diving deep into the data that we will have. So it's an introduction of a new methodology, as we said when we were presenting yourselves the quarterly report last year or this year early. Can we move on to the next? This is just a slide, co-chairs, that explains that we have rich data. We've had rich data, which is a baseline for us, because we've run these surveys for over a period of 3 years. Out of that, we have had cumulative data, and we are able to base at least the levels of satisfaction in as far as this particular methodology had given us the data. Obviously, the methodology does change. If it changes, it may not be possible to compare data backwards, but sometimes if you have strong variables, you can actually compare data backwards. Generally, what we're saying, we're moving from what we know. Can you go quickly to the next slide? On this particular slide, we're just talking about the need for us to change in line with the amended APP, and that is already tabled. It's adopted already by the two houses. Obviously, if we change the approach, we needed to look at the business model. We needed to look at how we redesign and ensure that there's optimization of support, there's optimization of technology, there's need to upskill ourselves, there's also need to affect modern technologies, there's need to assess whether we need specialized skills in terms of the programs that we're going to deliver. We need certain expertise that we do not have. We can collaborate with institutions outside Parliament, like the Human Resources Council, the CSIR, the UNICEF that we're partnering with, the UNDP that have got rich data, and of course, that's South Africa, which is our hub of data in this country. So we're saying we may not necessarily get the right skills. We may not necessarily get all the specialized skills that we need for members to get information that empowers them to deliver on their mandate. But we have now standing MOUs, agreements with institutions whose work and focus is to actually have skills around research, skills around lawmaking, and a whole range of things. And we think those strategic partners are quite important for us. Of course, we are saying we are integrating services. And the reason we're integrating the services into a shared service, Honorable Co-Chairs and members, we are moving away from the notion that a particular researcher is only the researcher of NCOP or only researcher of the NA, that should be seen as a shared service. And to that extent, we have evolved certain strategies that I'll refer to very quickly right at the end. And of course, we have implemented virtual meetings, and use different platforms, evidence of the hybrid that happened today in the plenary on in the NA, as well as the NCOP and the virtual meetings that we're holding right across of the committees that are sitting doing the business of Parliament. This slide just indicates to yourselves, Chairperson, that at the beginning we were sitting at a parliament that had very disruptive, non-sophisticated access to the internet, access to technologies. We've improved quite greatly. And I know that members can actually experience that improvement. Yes, there are problems with broadband, and these are problems in South Africa. It's not problems that are unique to Parliament. And we are a subset of South Africa. Therefore, when there's poor technological interactions or poor connectivity, no broadband in the country, it will impact on how we receive and how we connect on these virtual platforms. However, with respect to Parliament, we have, at least on the precinct, expanded our Wi-Fi. We have enhanced various points where there was need to improve connectivity. Beyond that, we're doing the best we can. Of course, what we are trying to do is we create a digital platform and ensure that there's improved digitization on the precinct and in the work of Parliament, interfacing with members who are not necessarily in the precinct, by ensuring that our information is seamless, it's integrated, has got access, easy to access, and is also currently updated. So for that, we need a lot of platforms, and we need to improve a lot on our digital strategy. ICT as a division have evolved a digital strategy that is for Parliament and not for ICT as a division. So this is one of the things that we're going to be reporting on how we're improving our technological advances on the precinct and beyond the precinct, of course, how we also adopt different technologies with respect to currently your e-voting and other things that have to improve the way in which Parliament works and the way in which members access information. Allow me, Chair, to say that the rest of the presentation, as it was necessarily was presented to yourselves, I will go straight to slide number 15, because the rest of the other programs are just to say that we have these various programs, they have these various indicators. They will make more sense when we do our quarterly report, because then we will be concretely talking to a target met against a particular indicator. I'm going to go to slide 15. What we're saying there is we've had to develop particularly certain strategies that are integrated. And these we refer to as strategic initiatives. These initiatives are largely to be driven by members. And we will share more later on. That to be driven by members. Firstly, this was motivated by the need to coordinate information, need to ensure that there's seamless delivery model that we develop, need to ensure that there's a 3-year research plan to support oversight plan, obviously meaning that the oversight plan will be a deliverable of members, but we need to make sure that we support that oversight plan by having a research plan, by having a methodology of integrated oversight between the two houses for Parliament, that we ensure that there's equal access of information on the services, that we forge collaboration as I've indicated. And then of course, we're actually saying that we have to augment information and the manner in which we disseminate information, improve the packaging of our information, ensuring that it's simple and it is useful. Hence the need to actually have the assessment of our levels of satisfaction from members in terms of how we're supporting them. So that program too looks at all of those things. I'm going to move immediately to, I will not waste your time on these ones, Chairperson, co-chairs, because these were, when we were proposing the indicators, per the service charters that we have. We used to give you the service charter. This is subsumed now in our report, and we're reporting real-time data as we had collected it in the first quarter, and Ravi will talk to that. I'm moving with speed, as this is really a summary. I'm going to go to the associated services. I have said that this program, honorable members, it is a transactional program. Of course, it excludes the PBO. The only reason we have PBO there is PBO still gets a transfer from our baseline budget. They don't have a dedicated budget. And I'm sure those are the matters they will deal with when they have their meeting with the executive authority and their meeting with the advisory council. With respect to the other slides, that is an estimate allocation that I have said many a times, that we are sitting at a deduction from Treasury. Nothing has changed, and the problem hasn't gone away. We still have a deficit compared to in our wage bill, because we're carrying a wage bill of 1.1 billion, and we have been given 834 million when we exclude 100 million of PAMET on an annual basis. I'm going to go to the last part of this presentation. Go on. I have said that already we have areas in our strategy of the sixth parliament that have to be driven by members. And those areas are around the institutional oversight plan. And these plans we have actually presented to the EA. And here we were just telling you, because it is overtaken by the times, as we had presented earlier on, it's really to revisit what we had submitted to you earlier on in the year. Lastly, the last one, these are the institutional oversight plans that we have outlined. And I must say that we have been able to make presentations to the parliament, to the political office bearers. These are the executive authority, the house chairs, Honorable Nyambi and Honorable Frolic, and there are all the other house chairs of the two houses. We've made presentations on the various initiatives that they have now looked at, which covers the areas of oversight, integrated oversight, public participation, knowledge management, and information. We are now having two other initiatives that we need to present to them, and that is actually the human resources, that is talent search, and the digital strategy. And out there, we're just showing the institutional oversight plan and the parliamentary activities. Finally, these are the steps we were going to take. First, we strategic initiatives are implemented. We will see the report. We have to still align the structure. We are working on the final step of our redesign of the institution, because it has to inform strategy. Strategy has to inform structure. So structure has to follow strategy. So we have that alignment. We're working currently very closely with GTEC to assist us to develop the shared services, to assist us to make sure that we have the right skills in the right places, to also see where we have skills gap in terms of the officials, because that will assist us on how we actually support members in their work. We've re-looked at the rebalancing of resource allocation, and you will see later on that the budget drivers are indeed under legislation and oversight. And then, of course, people had to review their budgets and prioritize. We will have to depend on people. We depend on skills development. We depend on the capacity. Finally, we do the monitoring and evaluation. Part of the monitoring evaluation is the reports that we provide to the Joint Standing Committee, the reports that we provide to the executive authority, and obviously finally submitted and audited by the AG. From my side, Chairperson, that's the end of this summary of a presentation that we did and we gave to yourselves. However, we thought it's important that we revisit it, so that when we report on a quarterly basis, like we're going to start now, you're able to link back and forth what we had presented earlier on. Finally, I do want to say at this point in time, co-chairs and honorable members of this committee, Parliament has now again received a seventh clean audit. And it's largely because the team that tries very hard to make sure that what we commit to, at least we deliver. Where we have errors, we correct. Where we have inputs from this committee, we adjust and adopt and include them. So we are quite happy about the fact that, yes, we have a clean audit, but I think the biggest question is, how is Parliament going to deal, and I'm talking about public representatives, how are public representatives going to deal with ensuring that effective oversight happens outside Parliament, which is the responsibility of and the mandate of the public office bearers? And we're saying we need to reposition ourselves better to give you better information. Thank you very much, co-chairs. I step off from this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Tiawa. I'm just checking if Mr. Khai is online, because both chairs are experiencing technical difficulties at the moment.
Yes, I am online.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Khai. If you could take over, please.
Oh, okay. I take it that we will take the two reports, and then before we allow members to ask questions, can we take the next report, Secretary?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Khai. I will ask my colleagues. Mr. Moodley, Ravi will make a presentation on the performance of Parliament in line with the strategy that I had just outlined. And then Ms. November, the acting CFO, will deal with budget expenditure to date in relation to just the first quarter and nothing more. Thank you so much, Honorable Khai. Over to you, Ravi.
Thank you, Acting Secretary. Good afternoon, honourable members of the Joint Standing Committee and officials of Parliament. So the Quarter One Performance Report is based on the current tabled APP, and it's aligned to the sixth Parliament Strategic Plan, which was based on Parliament's Integrated Strategic Management Framework. The big thing to note is that for the first time, we've talked about it before, but we're now implementing the new approach to measuring performance, which is in line with client satisfaction or member satisfaction with services provided by the Parliamentary Service. During the first quarter, a survey was sent out to all members via Google Forms, where members were asked to rate each of Parliament's services on a few dimensions. There were about five dimensions, which I'll cover in cover on the next slide. Sorry, Cindy, just go back. I just still want to through it. So the important thing to note as well is that now member satisfaction services is measured quarterly, the dimensions used for measurement are the most strongly correlated to client satisfaction. In fact, as we speak, I think about on the 23rd of August, already the survey for the second quarter has gone out. I see already three members of the Joint Standing Committee have already taken the survey, and we encourage all members to do so, because it gives us important feedback for improvement. Thank you, Sandeep. Just move on to the next slide. Okay. Firstly, I'm just putting a snapshot here of the key business of Parliament, which is more the work of members of Parliament. Just some of the quick highlights. In the NA, there were so many oral questions, 752 written questions, a number of debates, and interventions which happened. And then I've also listed what happened in the NCOP for the quarter. So this snapshot view just shows the key business of Parliament during the first quarter. Next slide, please. Then also just highlighting the work of committees, there were 17 oversight visits, one parliamentary inquiry, 10 bills processed, 65 engagement reports and 46 public hearings driven by committees, which happened in the first quarter. Thank you. Then this slide is trying to give an indication of the scope of our public participation activities using multimedia platforms. And so some of the channels that we use are from Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the parliamentary broadcast, our website, and Instagram. As you can see by the numbers, the public participation reach of Parliament is actually quite significant. Next slide, please. And this is also giving now our public participation through some of the more traditional channels, so while those were covering multimedia, these are still written television, those sorts of channels. So altogether, the last two slides give an indicator of Parliament's public participation reach. Next slide, please. Okay, so this slide I want to spend some time on. So as I said, these surveys went out for the first time in the first quarter. So if you look at the indicators on the left, from ICT services, facilities management, all the way down to public participation support, these are actually indicators on our APP. In the surveys that went out, members were asked to, for example, rate ICT services along the dimensions of ease of access, timeliness, reliability, fairness is applicable to certain indicators, and then usefulness of the service. So members rated those, and so we had scores for each dimension. And then we looked at the average or the weighted average for each of these dimensions, and we got an overall member satisfaction rating for each of these services. So for example, ICT services is sitting at 88.26%, facilities management at 80.97%, all the way down to public participation support, which is sitting at 79.75%. So this gives an indicator. What's nice is that if there was a problem on any one of these services, for example, timeliness was an issue, it would pick up on the survey. If usefulness was the issue, it would pick up on the survey. So it gives an idea of where things need to be improved. Next slide, please. So in terms of these surveys which went out, you would notice that all of the satisfaction results came out above the target set in the APP. So they all came out at green for the first quarter, which obviously is good, which is saying that in general there is satisfaction with the services rendered. And I think the only one thing which is not a survey related thing is the number of annual parliamentary frameworks adopted. The reason why it's gray, that's an annual target, because even though your NANCOP programs come out, the joint program is an annual one. We'd only counted for the end of the year. I think if you move on to the next slide, what this actually shows us is that your overall quarter one performance is that there were 12 indicators, 11 had targets which were applicable during the quarter. All targets were met, so there were zero targets not achieved, and there was one target which is annual. So the overall performance for quarter one is coming out at 100% based on that snapshot view that I showed you before. Then an important thing to note for this reporting and for this APP was that for the first time, this new three-program budget structure is being utilized. The Acting Secretary already covered before what's in program 1, 2, 3. So in this reporting cycle and for this APP, we are reporting on this three-program structure going forward. I think at this point, I want to hand over to the acting CFO to maybe take us through some of the key budgetary highlights for the institution. I think I'll step off there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Motley, and good afternoon to the honorable members and colleagues. I'm also having challenges with the network, so I'll just not show my face, but this is me, Ruby November. As Mr. Moodley has indicated, there has been a new budget program structure in terms of your three programs. Before it was five programs. And this is basically, the slide is telling us that for this quarter, your first quarter, April to June, a budget of 590 million has been allocated. Cindy, you can move to the next slide. The next slide is basically the same, this budget of 590 million in terms of its economic classification, compensation of members, your COE of employees, goods and services of APP, and goods and services of members. And then obviously your transfers to political parties and CAPEX. This is the same budget as we've said, just in terms of classifying in it accordingly. And that is the amount as indicated on that slide. The next slide, in terms of the financial performance for the first quarter, we can basically say, as per the three programs, that our first quarter spending is in line as projected, and the spend is at 99% of the appropriate budget. With regards to the direct charges of members, there has been an overspend of 3%, but that overspend obviously will be refunded by National Treasury. Next slide. In terms of the economic classification, as I've indicated, the COE spent in the first quarter, we have already indicated that there is the overspend on members, and the COE for employees is the spend is on par there. In terms of the goods and services, it's currently at 99% for the first quarter. Members' entitlement is at 100%. The transfers is at 93%, and this can be attributed to funds that has been withheld by from parties due to queries on the annual financial statements. However, there is a projection that full spend will be yielded by the end of the financial year. And then obviously the CAPEX, as indicated, is also at 100% spent. Cindy, you can move to slide 21. Yeah, in terms of program one, here again, we are saying we are on par with spending at 100%. Also, in terms of the COE, the economic classification on goods and services, as well as CAPEX, which is standing at 100%. Then in terms of, you can move to slide 23, Cindy. Yeah, again, in terms of the sub-program spending, and here, sub-program one, which is the executive authority, both offices, the executive authority on program one and sub-program two, which is the office of the secretary, they are on par with the spending at 100% for this quarter. The next slide, sir. In terms of this sub-program spending, which is sub-program three, corporate services, corporate and support services, with all these offices there, the sub-program is also on par with the spend for the first quarter of the year. Next slide. Yeah, Mr. Moodley, are you taking over, or do I go to all the slides for the finances?
I think for me, I just want to do the conclusion slide. Ruby, if there's anything else you want to do, maybe do it, because I think I covered all the stuff.
Yeah, if I can just, I think Sandy go to 30. Yeah, this is program two. The sections there is your National Assembly, National Council of Provinces, public participation and shared services and sectoral parliaments. That is in the program two. And again, yeah, this program is on par with its spend. I think on the NCOP side, there has been a variance of 4%, and that can be attributed to a credit for the travel invoices for the prior year, I think due to COVID and no spend on travel. Then in terms of your next sub-program, the National Assembly, the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces also on par with their spend. If you can go to program three, Cindy, Associated Services, page 35. Yeah. Here, overall spend is at 95% for this first quarter. And also, what we can say here is that there has been less members that has joined your PAME. Also to indicate that the COE includes 100% spent, and it includes your medical aid to former members of parliament and legislatures. Also in terms of the APP, there's 100% spent. And the transfers to political parties, which is at 93%, that can be attributed to the outstanding financial statements by some parties, and some where we have queries on it. Cindy, if you can move to 37. 37 is your direct charges, and this relates to members' remuneration. There is currently an overspend of 3%, and this can be attributed to the reduction of the budget received by National Treasury in this financial year, which amounted to 69 million. This basically concludes my part on the financials. Thank you, Chair. I'm handing over to Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Ruby. So in conclusion, on performance information, what I want to say is that all the parliamentary services have a client satisfaction rating, which is considerably higher than the South African average for institutions, which is around 75%, which I talked about at the last Joint Standing Committee. This does show that the quality of services provided has been quite high, but it can always be improved. All indicators did meet target. I think one of the things to mention in the past, challenges with regard to the collation, and maintenance of performance information was misinterpreted often as an institutional performance challenge, but the client satisfaction methodology does show that the two are completely separate. And the actual feedback from members has been very useful in the determination of areas of improvement. And once again, I'll just leave members with a message that obviously we would like as many members as possible to fill out the surveys, as it gives us very valuable feedback. From my side, thank you.
Chairperson, we finished with the institutional quarter one strat report. But maybe before we step off, I just want to highlight something so that the honorable members have some clarity on particularly overspending on direct charges. Just to say, because we experience loss of office gratuity and loss of office or members that happened last year, we carried over that over expenditure, which against which Treasury has to give us the deficit. We always do not get the accurate amount that is needed when members leave office. So you will find that from the first quarter of the new financial year reporting will always show that inconsistency between what we pay out and what we received. And it's that's exactly what's indicated there. Thank you, Chair. You said we must do both presentations and then combine the discussions. Am I correct?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was the suggestion, but I think because we have a pressure from time, let's just take all the presentations, and when members will be noting as you present the next one. Okay. Let's take all the presentations and then we'll discuss them.
All right, thank you, Chair. The next presentation is going to be very simple. This is the APP looking forward. So I think members should realize that it's an APP 2022-2023. Truth be told, when you look at it, there isn't nothing fundamentally new. All we're saying to yourselves is that the 2022-2023 APP and budget has been developed in line with the processes we had outlined in the APP I had shared. We met our time frames of 31st of May. It may well be that even the budget after the mini budget in October, if we do not get Treasury to address some of these deficits, it may well be that we have to revise the APP. Because now we have a plan. In terms of the Act, we comply, we submit by the 31st of May, we get a budget that is revised, cut down, reduced, or maybe actually maintained, or we get some extra. We need to go back again to reprioritize. And that reprioritization is a process where we have to now decide which of these strategies we're pursuing and how we're delivering against them. And then we may have to say, go back to the executive authority as they have to authorize that environment as per the FMPPLA. So the approach is the same. We have a measurement of member satisfaction. We look at the parliamentary entities. I'm starting from the bottom. And then we also cover the development process. Can we go quickly through this? So we explain here the process in terms of the FMPPLA, and that we always have a working team working with the executive authority. And then we provide you with the dates where we schedule to those engagements. And then we provide you with the fact that we submitted on 31st of May, 2021, and that the tabling occurred on June, 2021, in line with the FMPPLA. So largely we've met the requirements of the FMPPLA, and we do get audited on this component of compliance requirement, the dates. If we don't meet these dates, we always have to explain why. So we are happy with that. The next slide, please. These are the dates we're providing to yourselves. I think it's critical, co-chairs, that you note that we do engage with our management team. That's what MT stands for on that slide. We engage with our management forum, which is a forum of the middle management of parliament, all of it. The divisions engage with their subordinates in the various divisions. The division managers are responsible for that. So that we do a top-down, bottom-up strategy. And APP. And it's also about making sure that we assist when we do our balance scorecards. Somebody must say they see themselves in that APP through their operational plan as crafted when they were working with their immediate manager. Yes, we have challenges in that way, but we have refined that area because once somebody signs the balance scorecards, they are now aware of why they have to play a certain role. Simple things. If, for instance, I work in household, I have to have in my activities cleaning of the committee rooms, because it's critical for when members come back, cleaning of the National Assembly, the NCOP chambers, because it's got it impacts on the work of members. So if I don't see that connection, I will not be able to write the bill, I'll not be able to engage in a, or sign off my performance agreement. The think tank follow-up sessions, what we have done through our strategy management and governance units headed by Mr. Mudli, Joe Paweni, and Tumi, and Tumsani. What we have in Herbas, of course, we have a team of colleagues who are responsible for the evolution and development of our strategy. They then have to interact with critical personnel across the institution who lead certain focus areas in the institution, which are reflected in the strategy. I can give an example. If they have to evolve an oversight and accountability plan, they have to make sure that they engage with those colleagues, Ms. Beck, who leads the committees, Dr. Gabriel, who leads research, and have other people who have to drive that strategy and develop it. So it's quite a substantive interaction there. And then, of course, submission of budget tables, we do that. All of us have to actually go through that, guided by the FMO to say, what is it that we can afford? What is it that is given as estimates from Treasury? And then we had working meetings with the Executive Authority by 21st of May, 2021. We just did not just submit, we had to actually engage with the EA. In terms of Chapter 3 of the FMPPLA, we have to engage with the EA that gives direction once the accounting officer has to submit the draft APP and the draft budget, which was done on the 31st of May and then tabled on the 18th of June as per the section 17.2B. Can we move on? Institutional measures, as we indicated, you'll see that this is an explanation of the master strategy that we have, the strategy map, which is the next slide. I think we should go to the next slide, Cindy, which is graphic. Yes. Honourable members, I think to me, if members could just have this slide all the time, we will see that it concisely represents our strategy of the sixth parliament. I'll start from the bottom. We've had to work very hard. I myself had to really work around understanding this. And I must say, it has simplified all the narrative and the content that we give to you in these documents. In this manner that we start off by saying, what is it that officials of parliament must do? And what we do is what we refer to as inputs. Then, of course, at the bottom there, those inputs have to make sure that there's an oversight plan, that there's enough time for committees to deliberate, that there's enhanced members' capacity, there's deeper insight, public submissions. But these things can only happen if we have a change program, we have capacity building programs, and I'm reading the right at the bottom, and those capacity building programs have to be relevant to the needs of the members. I'll give you an example. We've been engaging with both houses members and also with the political office bearers. Some of the things that have come up is that the programs that members do would only be useful if they assist them with the tools to analyze, tools to understand basic research, tools that will assist them to ask better questions so that we need a better analysis and synthesis. Public information and access should also be easy for members to know that they can ensure that people can access information of Parliament. We have a better tracking monitoring system, data and systems that really work properly and they're seamless in the manner in which they deliver. And then technology and social media that is advanced. We've just shared in that report the expansive platforms that we have in social media, the increase of Twitter. However, I do want to say there's also an effort we're putting in on our members. We've seen in other parliaments that speakers and speakers of parliaments and members of parliaments have got chat rooms. But in this case, at least what we have, chat rooms and interactive websites on the website so that this website is static and everything. And that's what we'll need to have. Finally, on my point, one of the things that I'd like to bring to this committee, yes, we are aware that the impact of COVID and levels of lockdown and regulations are restricting movement of members between parliament and where they reside. However, we do have a well-functioning broadcast studio, which is a parliament broadcast studio. We would like all chairpersons and members to utilize that studio to interface with the public at points that are scheduled and a plan that is put together by our parliamentary communication services. Colleagues there have worked hard to make sure that they also have a structured way of interfacing with members. And this is a platform we should use because it feeds onto, of course, 408, which is on DSTV, but they also do feed into the local open media like your SABC. So we have a fully fledged studio that we obviously are building to have more technology, to have more skills. So with respect to this map, then the next level is we're saying these are the activities of members, individual members' activities, members conducting deeper scrutiny, more effective ways of involving staff, involving the public, involving the cabinet ministers, ensuring that the questions and debates and statements are quite sharp in how you hold the executive accountable. And in that respect, constituency oversight work will be effective, committee oversight work will be effective, plenary oversight work will be effective, and it can only be effective if, for instance, our inputs into the work we do is better, synthesized, simplified, accessible, and easy to understand. The top part, honorable members, is what is informed by NDP, what is also informed by UNDP, a whole range of research that talks about how we'd reduce the Gini quality.
Honorable Mavi, co-chairperson, please close the mic. Sorry, Mitchell.
All right. So at the top there, honorable members, is what Parliament must drive. If there is effective oversight and accountability, I suppose even today's questions to the president were about Parliament holding the executive accountable to show what programs are being implemented to reduce poverty, increase employment, reduce inequality. And through improved oversight over the budget legislation, that can happen. We've always, and my colleagues say it, that Parliament is not necessarily using the money bills and related act effectively to adjust the budgets of these departments. If a department continuously has extraordinary irregular expenditure, extraordinary and consistent wasteful expenditure, what is it that Parliament should do? How can Parliament use the acts that they have, the tools they have, to make sure that they adjust the budget, move the budget from the education department, I'm just giving an example, to a department that definitely will finally ensure that there's a reduction of poverty in this country, there's better skills in this country, there's reduction of the equality gap in this country. And an increasing government responsibility and accountability will lead to that. So I am just keeping to this slide, Chairperson, and going nowhere else, because the rest of the document provides you with the various programs, as we had said earlier on, and it provides you with the budget as allocated, or shall I say estimates, because we are still in conversation with Treasury. It also provides the members with the strategy execution institutional indicators, as indeed covered in the rest of that document. We are also saying what's important here is, again, we're moving towards assessing the quality. Remember, you in this committee, honorable members, kept saying you are tired of us counting beans, you know, bean counting, turnaround time to be 8 days, turnaround time to be this. You have said to us, it's important that we assess the quality. And the only way that we can assess the quality is for us to receive the feedback in this client satisfaction survey, which is, we're not calling it a client satisfaction survey, we're calling it a member satisfaction survey. It gives us immediate data And we think that it's clean, it measures, and we can get feedback from yourselves, because the idea of feedback through the service is for us to say, are you happy? If you say you're not happy with the research content or the research analysis of these very products in this committee, we have to engage our researchers and content advisors to say, how do you summarize the submissions we make to this very committee to ensure that this committee assists us in improving the work we do? And that we are clear that must happen right across the committees. So it is possible and it is necessary that we engage with the House chairs and we engage with the committee chairs, both select and portfolio committee. Chairperson, the rest of this document, like I can say, it's a forward-looking APP. We submitted as per the compliance. We await any big adjustments if we get those from Treasury. We are raising issues with the fact that the Treasury doesn't follow the correct processes of the Act in revising the budget of Parliament, because we're not a department. I think you did make it very clear with the delegate from the National Treasury. And I must say, those colleagues have come back to us to understand our business. We've had the last engagement we had was, I think, last week with the technical people in Treasury to again say, if you reduce the budget of Parliament, you are reducing effective oversight, you are reducing public participation. And we are continuing those conversations. The rest of this document called CHESS outlines exactly what we had done already in the APP. So it's sustained. It can change in terms of if there are certain things that we must expand on and elaborate on. And we are positioning ourselves indeed to match our indicators, which is on the left part of this slide, with the roadmap of exactly what Parliament should be doing going forward. The biggest question is going to be, at the level of public office representatives, yourselves, it may well be that it's going to be useful to have indicators that Parliament would like to measure themselves, and not the measurement we're giving, but Parliament as members of Parliament want to measure the success of their oversight, their public participation, their lawmaking in terms of those areas of impact, and what indices would be evolved. I do know for a fact, co-chairs, that the area of research, as I said, we have partnerships with the institution like Stats SA Human Resources Council. We are going to assist to evolve variables that you can measure and make those become indices that will say, this is the impact of at least the sixth parliament having changed the trajectory of their strategy. We can say that in terms of the Gini coefficient, unemployment, inequality has changed, has moved in South Africa from this range to that range. We have those indicators of measurement in this document, and we're using some of the data that we have, obviously from the Stats SA, and also general data that we get from the UNDP and other sources that are out there. Some members on the committee definitely have said the UNDP have got the basics. If a country can't address its primary health, a low mortality below the age of five, if the children die below the age of five, the children, there's no universal access to primary education and skills deficit, there is no way your country can actually be ranked higher in a competitive index of the world in the global report. So Chairperson, let me stop here because the rest is what we are outlining, which is similar to the APP of 2021-2022. This is a forward-looking APP that we have submitted, derived from the five-year strategy of Parliament as adopted by this Parliament. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, coaches.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mechawa. Am I audible?
Yes, coacher, you are.
Okay.
Yes, chair.
Thank you very much. I think members, this is your opportunity now to engage on the presentation, the three presentation. I'm going to check on the participants, and I will also rely on you, Cindy and co-chairperson. Let's all check those members who have raised their hands, who wants to participate. Can members raise their hands through the raise your hand icon?
Mr. Khai, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Khai.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the reason perhaps is we are quiet is because everything, as far as I see, is clear in terms of the revised APP of 2021-2022, the first quarter report, as well the forward-looking APP, I mean, of 2022-2023. So everything is clear. All that I could propose that we add, Chair, is with regard to the survey, that it should not only be limited to members, but also to the committees, particularly the chairs of committees, because they are the ones who basically interact with those categories that are listed under the survey. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khai. Honorable Kaiso, you are the second.
Yes, thank you very much, Coach. I just want to use short legs. I agree. Indeed, it's on the report, it is a good progress, and there's also room to do much more on other areas that we still have to focus as a parliament, and that should have impact as a parliament. Perhaps what we could look for as well is to just use the experience that emanate from the commission, because there's been a number of issues that teaches us give us some experience in as far as the Zondo Commission was concerned with the work of the parliament, how perhaps we should be improving along those lines that can better the work of the parliament. So, but the rest I agree, Co-Chair, that no, it's a really a good progress, and hopefully we'll achieve more and more results with the presented APP plan. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kaiso. Honorable Peggy Khadebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, members of Parliament, plus the support staff of Parliament, the leadership of Parliament. And then what I want to leave on, Chairperson, is that one, we appreciate the fact that the Parliament has had to clean audits for the previous 7 years. I think the tempo in which they are working is good. It must be appreciated. Number two, Chair, I think that what is very important is the strategic plan of Parliament, that it is aligned to the National Development Plan. I think that the use of the measures or indices of poverty, unemployment, and Gini coefficient is a good objective standards which are going to be used. So what is very important here is that we must really emphasize the issue of the oversight of our various portfolio committees and standing committees, that the targets which the NDP puts, we must be able to track them now to ensure as we're in the final ticket of the NDP, we must have a countdown so that, let's say, come 2025, we must know how far we are on the issue of employment, how far we are on the issue of the skills development within the country. Because we cannot have a country where there's so much youth unemployment and then think that things will be normal. So what is critical here is that as Parliament, as this national tribune of the people, we must hold the executive Discuss resources we're having as a country. So that's why I said that the issue of not government, like the Statistics South Africa. We're having a lot of universities around Cape Town here and around the country, which got the schools of governance. I think that we must syndicate with those institutions so that we get as much objective research as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Peyi Khadebe. I didn't want to interrupt you, but there was a time where your voice was shaking. I think it was because of the poor network. And the next member is Jax Julius.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair, and greetings to the members and staff on this committee. No, Chairperson, the changes are noted. I think it looks much better than we had previously. But I do just one request. I don't have any questions or clarity at this stage, but just one request. I know that we will still engage on the report, on the three reports, but just to request one thing that, you know, we had key performance areas in the past, and that has changed drastically for the better, for the working of Parliament. But can I just request that the performance, the outcomes in every performance areas, can the changes be summarized? I know, Co-Chair, you said that we were working on you know, the fifth Parliament's outcomes and so forth. So those changes that we are looking forward to, can it just be summarized when we engage the report, please, if it's possible? Thanks, Co-Chair.
Okay. I think your last the last part of your question is very progressive, but I don't know how much time it will need, and if it needs more time, how many of the members will be on the platform yet by then?
No, Chairperson, just for clarity, can I just thank you? No, what I meant is if it can be sent to us. So that we can, you know, the document is quite thick. I wanted to go through it myself, but it will take a lot of time. So if possible, if it can be summarized for us, summarized. And then when you engage on it,
Okay, I understand you. Thank you very much. While I'm now going to allow Mejawa and her team to respond, is there any other, before I do that, is there any other hand? Melisoma, you're welcome. I see you now. I was unable to see participants. Mejawa?
Thank you so much, Co-Chair. I must express that the comments from the members are really encouraging, and we appreciate that at least there's recognition of change. And indeed, Honorable Khai is right to say that there are changes. And one of the things that indeed we are going to look at, much as we give the questionnaires to everybody else, we are going to target chairpersons of committees, because there's a lot of committee interaction currently. And we must exploit that space so that we get your immediate feedback, and that would be like the document that you will have received for that meeting. You know, it will help us to go back and say, what else do we need to improve on the skills, or do we need to improve on the quality or the accessibility of information? So we will definitely do that. We won't just be doing the surveys continuously and not consider strategic surveying so that there's need for strategic intervention. We agree with you, I think, Honorable Khai. And then, of course, Honorable Khai, so you're right. We were at the Zondo Commission. We supported the former speakers, the two of them, Honorable Baleka Mbete and Honorable Thandi Modise. And I was in that with both the secretaries of the house, Dr. Gabriel, of course, and myself. And we noted that a lot of discussion was on the inability of Parliament to have effective oversight, meaning that our oversight process doesn't stop only after the members, doesn't start when members go out. It possibly should start at the time the research and content advisors provide you with research. And one of the things that we noted was also there's very limited primary research that Parliament officials do. And I know that Dr. Gabriel is looking at a strategy to really introduce primary research so that when the departments come with their inputs and reports, they are able to, you as members of that committee, we are able to say an independent research conducted by our officials show the different picture. And that means if, for instance, we have that primary research, our colleagues can do research and they can even use existing information just to say where the bridges that we approved to be built in a province of some sort through the Human Settlement Department or DPW, have they been built or not? And we can actually get that. So there's methods we can do, Chairperson, that we can bring in the value of the documents and the information we provide to you. And then that will go back to skills, that will go back to how we package our information. And besides that, that would also go out to the end-to-end oversight, because it doesn't only start at research, it starts there. Committees go out, we must come back and say, what have they found? And are the departments or the executive addressing those gaps that you've seen? This will assist that members don't end up just looking at underspending, irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure when you get the AG's report. We are going that direction and we have to do it. Honorable Khatebe, we are definitely grateful of the comments. Honorable Julius, I just want to be very clear. You are asking that we do a summary of the outcomes on the very report that we have in respect to the KPAs. The KPAs of what, against each program? I just want to be clear so that I don't walk out of here thinking we all understand what the honorable means. Are you talking about the current? Yes,
can you clarify that?
Current document, yeah.
Yes, co-chair, each program, remember we had a complaint last time that the programs or the outcomes in each program are not necessarily working for Parliament. You know, you'll have one or two or three programs that's not actually, effective in terms of what we want to do. So now we are proposing a lot of changes in the outcomes under every the performance areas of every program. So I just need those changes that we effected. I just want to see whether that complaint of us was taken into account.
Okay, all right, we will do that. It means for program one, we must say, these are the KPAs for program one, and these are the outcomes for program one. And then against this, we'll say, this is the budget that was spent against it. I hear you, Honorable Julius. Yes, we will do that, because it will also consolidate our information into one space. Yeah, thank you so much, Co-Chair. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Members.
You don't expect anyone to make additions, maybe?
I do. I'm sure my colleagues can. They
minding time as well.
Exactly. We don't want to go on and on. I can ask Dr. Gabriel to make comments, particularly on his views and how we experienced the Zondo Commission, and that him and Ms. Beck have to drive the oversight and research plan of the institution. I will ask them to do that, because
and as he does that,
Mr. Klasso is not well, and I know that. I think Mr. Advocate Pindela, I do not have an apology, but I know that he was invited. Dr. Gabriel, do you want to make just a comment? Yeah.
Before he does that,
through you, yes,
I should Who's calling for my attention?
No, I was saying, should we do it now? But I will be guided.
Yeah, also. I wanted you to check if you can quickly do it now. But also, I want to, before I'm cut off, because I don't know when will I be cut off, this issue of the parliament appearing before Zondo and the picture that is being painted out there, that we are unable to ask relevant questions and we are not doing well in as far as oversight is concerned. I think the other side that we need to check is the role that is played by the departments as and when they are called to appear before the committees, because bringing the or presenting, giving the presentation or their documents in a meeting or a night before the meeting is really disempowering us as members and also as the research team, the support staff, because they also have to look at that at those documents, and we also have ourselves to look at those documents. And it's not happening most of the time. So I think we need to, I don't know how can we say that or resolve to say maybe the EA can talk to the department or the leader of governance to say, really this time around, if some other committees are considering to send them back and not entertain them if they didn't submit in time, because they get an invitation in time, but they don't submit the documents in time. So we will do what has been happening in my province, in Mpumalanga. When you are an executive authority, you make sure that, and you are invited to portfolio committee, you submit your documents in time so that members and the support staff can have enough time to go through your documents. Yes, Mr. who must talk? Maudley.
I was talking to Dr. Leon, Mr.
Okay.
They're here. Okay. Dr. Gabriel? And
good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon, members. Thank you, Acting Secretary. Honorable Co-Chair, I think the Secretary has given the high-level strategic approach for enhancing research. I would just want to add that in terms of the primary research that has come out as one of the areas that we need to develop, we obviously are mindful of the fact that we cannot have the resources completely internally to be able to conduct primary research. It does take quite a lot of groundwork. So the collaborations with other research institutions and universities that Acting Secretary spoke to is one of those key strategies where we will be able to commission research specifically for committees. So it becomes quite a bespoke kind of service to committees, particularly when they're dealing with matters where we might not have the expertise or level of expertise required in the staff contingent on the establishment. The other part of it, which also came out quite strongly in the Zondo Commission, was the quality of input to committee oversight processes. So we obviously have reflected on that and looked at it in terms of the administrative support through research and content support, and also linked to that how effectively the reports and documents emanating from civil society organizations, from institutions supporting democracy, and even from media reports make their way to committee consideration and deliberations. So it speaks again to the kind of input that we give to committee oversight processes. And there we are also looking at making proposals for preparatory meetings of committees. So in a sense, almost closed meetings where members of a particular committee can sit with their support staff, sit with the research documents, with the researchers in a closed meeting and actually go through the documents before they go into their official committee meetings. This is outside of the study groups and other things that are party political processes. And then finally, the issue of the electronic document management. So the reliability and patency of the records of committees. So we're working with the documentation section, which is also part of my division, where we will be engaging committee chairpersons and committee support staff to develop file plans for each committee where there is proper electronic document storage and management of all committee records, including draft documents, which obviously won't be available publicly, but that's something that's part of this strategy for enhanced support. Thank you, co-chair. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gabriel. I think we are at the end of our meeting. Am I correct, Cindy, according to the agenda? And if so, I would like to hand over to the co-chairperson to close. Closing remarks. Ma'am Abby, co-chairperson. Co-chair? Okay. Honorable Khadebe,
can you hear me now?
Yes.
No. I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you very much for acknowledging me. I think in one of the presentations, they've made mention that there is a turnaround of customer satisfactory comments. But if I listen to the presenter, well, I might be wrong, maybe they will correct me, but it's just a comment to say that Parliament exists because of the people. It is the people that must say that we are happy, we are able to access Parliament, we do get information that we need from Parliament. Well, members, it's just a service that has been rendered to them, but we exist as Parliament because of the people. My point is that there is no mention of broadcasting a Parliament in our national broadcasting in our national broadcaster, as it has been a standing recommendation ever since this sixth Parliament. So we would want a report on that and also to be told how far Parliament is that in making sure that we take our channel from a privatized channel that can be afforded by a certain grouping of people and not accessible to the masses who vote, you know, for us. So I would want that maybe the acting secretary to Parliament take some few seconds and reflect on that issue. It is a burning issue. It is urgent. It needed to be addressed in the past two financial years. I don't see any plans. I'm not sure if they are ever planning to do that. Thanks, Chair.
Jefferson,
okay, Chair. Yes, Mechawa.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Honourable Co-Chair Mabe. You're correct. I mentioned the fact that Parliament now has its own independent studio, managed by the officials. We are further looking at the technical support, but we do have sound engineers and so on and so forth. We have moved and we will provide the report. We have agreed, make an agreement, a service level agreement with the community radio stations that cover 90 community radio stations in the country. And then we are working with SABC. I'm sure Demoloto could actually even say it even much eloquent more than I'm saying. The African language stations is also one of the portfolios that we're looking at in terms of interaction. But all our feeds and information is given to the African language stations. They are given to the SABC. What is critical is, as I was saying earlier on, because our studio does beam into a whole range of everything, like, let me give an example. What we want to do is availability of at least the chairpersons of the committees, both select and portfolio committee, and members of parliament at any point in time to use that platform to communicate unmediated messages, unmediated work of parliament directly to the public, meaning that we can take a feed, convert it, and people who know better, Kibosheli, they can use their language, but I know a little bit about it. The studio allows us to take a package of information, transmit it, use our satellite, transmitting to the national, the community radio stations, because we have an agreement with the National Community Radio Station Forum, NCRF. And that is direction we are intensifying. We've been doing it, but at a lower level. And our broadcast studio assists us not to depend on DSTV. DSTV then becomes just one of those platforms that would reach whoever they're reaching. I also want to confirm, Chairperson, I think I omitted that. Yes, we have the satisfaction survey for members. We have kept our public communications survey that is done independently that polls the population of South Africa to talk about whether they know about Parliament. Do they interface with Parliament? If they do, where have they interfaced? So we do have that survey. That's the one that we commissioned, because with this one of the client satisfaction, we're spending less than $500,000 that we used to spend before commissioning a company. But for the one which is an independent study to be done nationally with national representation, we still have that. Of course, that only comes at the end of the year, because the survey gets conducted throughout, from September, October, November. They finish the field work, we start getting the draft report into them. So Honorable Mabi, you're correct, we're gonna have the balance. And I think what's important, we want to take what members, particularly people who say, I have no interest in parliament, we must ask why. And we can do the ask why when we do the focus groups, because once we say why, we will get a lot of information that we then bring it back to yourselves to say, Honorable members, the public says you are not coming to the deep rural areas, and we can show you data. Then you must strategize your oversight and so on and so forth. So I'm excited with the input you're making, and I must reassure the committee that we are making strides into indeed making sure that the public engages with members of parliament. And we will bring you a report on at least the platforms we're using, written report, the extent to which we have reach of the public and what they say about parliament would come as yet a survey that we still maintain. We still have that survey that is objective, independent, and it assesses the public, how they feel about us as a parliament, the services they receive, interface with them as the public representatives. Thank you very much, Co-Chair. Thank you, Honorable Co-Chair Mabe, for that question.
Mejawa and the team, thank you very much. Mabi, Co-Chairperson, I requested you to close.
No, thank you very much. I think.
Please, yeah.
Yes, it is work in progress. Maybe let's just welcome the report and also commend Parliament for being able to sustain clean audits for multiple years. We're hoping that even in this new in this new autopolity, in this new, where are we now, term?
Yes. Yes.
Given the fact that it was for the last time that they were operating without following FAMPLA to the latter, that when FAMPLA is introduced and in full operation, they will be able to account and still obtain clean audits. Also to welcome the speaker, I'm not sure at what point will she be joining us as the committee. Maybe we'll need to invite her in our next meeting so that we can officially welcome her. Be that it may, members, I want to thank you for your participation. Hello. And moreover that you sacrificing your Friday, especially after a long day. We know that there were those who were participants in the house asking questions to the president. It is normally not easy, you know, because you need to do a lot of research. And also moving from that meeting to this one on a Friday afternoon. We thank you very much. And thank you very much, co-chair. The meeting is officially closed. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Speaker.